Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The problem most men have is they don't know how to talk to women.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know what my problem is? I am not interesting.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What am I supposed to say? I went to magic camp? I'm an accomplished ventriloquist?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, I am a 7th degree imperial yo-yo master. Oh, do me, yo-yo master. I want you to do me because you're the yo-yo guy.
The Fan.
This final hour, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hope your Thursdays are going well. So quick PPP notes. Should be reminded, now we talked about this when it happened. Remember the Lakers applied for one and then they had to rescind their application? Remember that?
Oh yeah. They got guilted into, we didn't want this.
Who was the, didn't Shake Shack Shake get Shack. It and then they had to give the money back?
$10 million, I think, with Chris got a big one. And they were like some of the first to get the loans. And everybody was like, wait a minute.
What?
Mom and pop here in Brooklyn, New York are trying to just be able to pay the rent of their lease. And they can't get any feedback. But Shake Shack got $10
million? Dear Lord. Yeah, the Lakers, I remember that. We talked about it when it happened. They were the only NBA franchise, I believe, that did it. And then also a listener texted in. I'm just going to believe this. I didn't see the headline, but I'm going to just imagine that it's true, saying that one of Floyd Mayweather's companies received a loan as well.
I just, these are universal frustrations, I think, for everybody. I think there's a lot going on right now in the country that is actually, we have more in common than we do dividing and being separate or different thoughts. Yeah. And I wish we would just start thinking about, like, this isn't an issue that goes on one side of the aisle. This is like red, blue, purple, yellow, doesn't matter. Everybody should think that this is a stupid system. If Shake Shack's and Tom Brady's are getting $1 million+ loans, but mom and pop restaurants that I love to eat breakfast at in my local town
are going to have to shut down.
Can't even get an email response and they have to shut down. That's a universal opinion.
Amen to that. We had some listeners texting in about small businesses in the area. It just, you feel for it, man. So I that's a frustrating thing to hear about and read about. And I
was thinking about that. I was at Newport Dirt, and Newport's not a very big town, you know, but I like visiting small beach towns. Mm-hmm. We're walking the main strip in Newport, like by the seal dock, the docks with all the sea lions. We're just walking down that main strip by the bridge. Mm-hmm. I'm just like looking in all these stores and I'm like, I hope they're doing okay.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of there was not a lot of people at Newport, at least as many people as I thought there would be. Some businesses had nobody in there. And I'm like, I hope these small businesses, man, their livelihoods are right here. They love to live on the coast. I respect that. They're running a business and hoping that all the tourism from crabbing and whatnot and It's just not, I hope that they're doing okay or they're being helped.
Yeah. Amen to that, man. Let's get to it. It's been kind of a reactionary show. There's been a lot of news coming out while we've been on the air. It's been fun to have that. It feels like ours has been a big sports news day in quite some time. I'll start with this, though, just because it's going to give you, I don't know if it's a chuckle is the right word. Remember yesterday, I believe towards the end of the show, we did a segment about how Raheem Mostert was demanding a trade from the 49ers.
Yeah, he was underpaid.
He still want that trade?
He wanted a new contract, and they wouldn't give it to him. So his agent tweeted, we're out of here. Peace. Yep. We want a new team.
Ah.
His agent just tweeted, after recent backlash from yesterday's trade request, me and my client are rescinding our trade offer from the San Francisco 49ers. San Francisco is the best place for Mostert and I to be, and I failed to realize that.
Well, you're an idiot, one.
That is such a bad look.
That's a fireable offense, too, by
Pretty
the way.
Pretty much. I thought you were going to say Mostert announces he's got new representation.
I mean, why would you not?
I mean, if Mostert Yikes. Didn't do that, if his agent was just trying a tactic, that's a phone call and go, dude,
you screwed it.
Fix this by the end of the week or I'm getting new representation.
Well, I said this yesterday, and I think when you become a fan of a team that does something really well, you can seem like you're totally biased. I really think Shanahan has one of the better systems for running backs in the league. I like Raheem Mostert. He's a great story. He was the special teams guy that got a chance, and he ran with it. You can easily replace Raheem Mostert within Kyle Shanahan's offense. And the Niners weren't batting an eye at that. They're like, oh, okay, well, maybe we'll work on that. Maybe we won't. We don't really care all that much.
Yeah.
It's funny that it took like 12 hours and he realized maybe if my client has one more good productive year in this offense,
maybe then you could get paid.
Then another team will come up and overpay you, or maybe the Niners give you a decent little contract to stay for another couple years.
I have a feeling the next update in that story will be looking for a new agent. 49ers running back Raheem Mostert fires his representation.
You hear stories like that in our industry from time to time of guys who get agents and the agents are like, give us this number or we're done. And the boss of companies will go,
okay,
peace. You have no leverage. I don't need you that bad. And then the agent gets fired and they agree upon the crappy deal.
Fine, I'll sign that contract.
It's nice to see that happens in pro sports and not just in our industry.
So maybe it gives it one more year, but they have rescinded the trade offer. I thought that was pretty funny. Or the trade demand, I should say. The big news of the day, though, is the Big Ten's announcement to play a conference-only schedule. Now, we got to this a little bit yesterday. It was rumored. We were hearing some rumblings from Big Ten country that was going to happen. They made it official today. Conference-only schedule for the Big Ten. Of course, what that means, big news for Washington and Oregon, is that you just lost a marquee non-conference game, which, you know, and our boss emailed us about this as well. I think it's a huge relief, at least for me personally, and not to the troll who texted in saying it's because Oregon's 0-9 all time against Ohio State. That's uncalled for.
They've played them 9 times?
Yeah, it's not good.
Didn't know it was that many.
A few Rose Bowls in there.
You go way back. But they lost in 0-9 in the Rose Bowl. They lost in the national championship in 2014. Those are the most recent ones that come to mind.
I just didn't know it was as many as 9.
It's 9. Four, okay, 5. We don't need to stick on the fact that it's 0-9.
So how many have they won at the 9? Don't say anything back. You know I'm already stupid, so we know what the jokes are.
No, I think the relief was the fact that if you were to play a game like that, if it stayed on the schedule and there's no fans, like, that sucks. That's not, like, there's no point in playing that game. You're not going to get to experience the atmosphere. There's nothing more enjoyable in college football, I would argue, outside of getting a chance to go to, like, a really cool setting on the road or a big-time bowl game kind of thing, but having a marquee non-conference game in your building, it's awesome, man. Their fans travel. They want to check out the city. There's great atmosphere around the game. So if you were going to play that with limited or no fans, it would have absolutely sucked. So I'm fine with them punting on it. And Rob Mullins just released a statement a little bit ago saying this, quote, I appreciate Gene Smith reaching out to share the Big Ten's announcement. We agreed to have ongoing discussions about the options for rescheduling the Oregon home game in our series. So there you go. Not a shocking alert.
So what that means is they really want to have the Ducks come to the Horseshoe, but the only way that's going to happen is if they reciprocate.
And that's, you have to stick with that standard. If you're going to do neutral site, then you can agree upon that. But I've said this too many times to count. Neutral site games in college football are the absolute worst. Sure, you can go to great venues like Jerry World or maybe Vegas when they finish the stadium, or maybe LA or Atlanta or whatever. Those are really good venues.
Yeah.
But you are taking so much out of the pageantry of what football and college football is really about.
Should be all home and homes.
And that's what you say, right? It's seeing and determining, is Ohio State fan douchey? We'll find that out when they come to Eugene. Or what they're like as hosts. What's the Horseshoe like? What's Ann Arbor like? Like, that's the cool thing about hearing from Beav fan when they go to those games, or Husky fan or Duck fan, is you get different opinions of largely what fan bases are. You say Michigan State fan base, kind of douchey. I heard LSU fan base, I've heard they're douchey, and then I've heard Beav fans say they're really accommodating, great, and nice. So that's the part of college football I've hated as we've moved on more and more through the big billion-dollar business of it. When you schedule these games, Oregon's going to play Georgia in Atlanta in 2 years. Mm-hmm. That is going to be a 80-20 Georgia home game. And yeah, it's going to be cool to see that stadium and to go play a big opponent, but you lose so much not going to Athens, and you lose so much with Georgia not going to Eugene.
Or at least meeting in the middle ground and not playing a neutral site game that's in their state.
And I'm not going to pretend to know the financial details of what you make for the home and homes versus what you get for the big non-conference neutral site. But if I was ever in a position of being an AD, and I never will be, this is just my personal philosophy or opinion or feeling about college football. I would do everything I could to not do neutral site. Hey, when can you do this? And when can we do home and home? Especially if you're a big time program. Oregon State going to Michigan and Michigan not coming to Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Totally get it. They don't benefit from going to Corvallis. You get the Oklahoma States of the world. That's
right,
great.
Right.
But if you're Oregon.
You got Wisconsin too.
Wisconsin was a really big one. But like if you're Oregon and you get these Georgias, these Ohio States, it's to me, it's a home and home. Neutral site. I'm not a fan of them, man. You take something away from your fan base.
I agree.
I think neutral site games should be. Now they used to allow like the extra game, like those neutral site games. You used to get like a 13th game or when they did them.
Like
I think it was before. Yeah.
USC had a 13 game schedule not long ago, and it was something insane. Like, didn't they have a season where they had no bye? And we talked about that.
Yeah.
You remember that? It was like 2 or 3 years ago.
I know that's the thing. And Oregon actually has that coming up on their schedule. I'll pull it up again. But when you play at Hawaii, you're supposed to, you have the ability to, I think, schedule an extra game.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, if you want to go back to have, you know, you have Atlanta, Dallas, Superdome, maybe Miami, the new Vegas Stadium, the new LA Stadium, you have a series. And you work it like the holiday college basketball tournaments where you can appear in one every 3 years or something, but it's extra on top of your schedule and doesn't. So if you want to do one,
it's like a kickoff kind of game.
Yeah,
thing.
They're week zero and just do it that way. So you don't have to decide, okay, I got an opportunity to go do this one-off, but we already have another heavyweight on the schedule. I don't want to kill my chances.
Yeah, and I think that's such a big difference between those two sports is it's almost ingrained in a certain regard because of historical matchups and cool non-conference battles that we've had in years past. Football, it's a big deal. Basketball, oh, we're going to the Maui Invitational. Great. I can't wait to go.
Can't wait to go. It'll be good prep for the tournament.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
It's Maui, man.
Well, and plus, I think
If you lose, you know, if you're Gonzaga and you lose to North Carolina,
it doesn't matter that early, right? It doesn't impact what your seeding will really be. Like maybe between 1 and 2 seeds. But the other part of that is you go to a tournament like that, it's not a one off. Oregon playing Georgia in 2 years in Atlanta, that's your one off. And Georgia could win. Oregon fans can be like, well, we don't get another chance to play them. That sucks.
Yeah.
Oregon, the basketball team, could go to the Maui Invitational and play North Carolina, Gonzaga. You get multiple big-time matchups in those tournaments. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, it really is. I think my thing, too, on the neutral site games is it needs to at least balance out throughout the country. Like, if you want to have occasional neutral site games, it's a big destination and a big money-getter for conferences and programs. I'm fine with that. When they're all in Dallas and Atlanta, I got an issue with it. And that's where, like, going forward, when the Vegas stadium's done and the LA stadium's done, if you want to schedule those from time to time, as long as it evens out of you getting LSU in LA, make them come to the West Coast, right?
Yes.
Or get them in Vegas. Who doesn't want to go to Vegas? Who doesn't want to go to LA? But when you're traveling and those games are backyard games for SEC teams every time you play them, then it doesn't make sense. You're essentially playing an extra road game that's just not counted as a road game. Like the Auburn-Oregon game this year, there's a ton of Duck fans down there, but it was like, at best, 65-35 Auburn fans. At best, might even have been 70-30, man. So, like, and you're playing Georgia in Atlanta? Give me a break. How long of a drive is it from Athens to Atlanta?
I think it's like 2 hours.
Man, it's a home game. It's like driving to Eugene.
Yeah.
Give me a break, man. So, yeah, that's just wanted to point that out, though. Rob Mullen said they're working to reschedule it. Maybe they boot a random team off of their schedule in the coming years. There's no way that game doesn't happen. Ohio State still wants them to come because it's a big game for them to host. Oregon wants the same thing. It'll get put back on the books.
Would you be okay if they did Ohio State next year and they don't book to come to Eugene for like 6 years down the road? Or do you want it back-to-back?
No, it doesn't have to be back-to-back, but I want it to be within the next 3 or 4 years.
But they like within a close proximity of they come here, you go there.
I don't want it to be 2021, you play at Ohio State, and you don't get that game until 2028.
And that's what I worry about.
That's dumb, man. Yeah, play it recently. I think there's enjoyment in that of having it, whether it's back-to-back or within a couple of years, that you have some players played in the game twice that you have an experience with, and the coaches are hopefully the same. It's that kind of stuff.
And I think that's what made Oregon, Michigan State cool, was you had a lot of familiarity.
Exactly.
Between, there were turnover, but the roster was pretty, I saw him last year. Oh yeah, the Ducks almost won in Michigan State. they come to Eugene and you still know a lot of the same names.
And you got a chance for revenge the next year, 2 years later, if you are to lose the first one. So Rob Mullen's statement, he said Gene Smith, they're working on rescheduling the Ohio State Oregon game. Is the Big Ten announced today that all of their football teams will be playing a conference-only schedule in the upcoming season. We got some nickname news in the NFL, something happening in the NFL that people are laughing at. Players are arriving in the bubble in the NBA today, and a big sports bomb that we haven't even gotten to yet. That's all still to come, but next, let's take a look inside Swag's bag of plums on 1080 The Fam. The NFL is taking big steps to make sure player safety is of utmost importance, and they announced something was banned today. We'll get to that coming up bottom of the hour. But it's slightly after 2:15 on a Thursday. What do we got, Swag? What's in the bag of plums today?
Well, we covered golf earlier.
Yes,
so
we did.
There is a big golf news bomb if you want to get to it.
Which news bomb?
There's a big bomb today. There was a big bomb that
was
dropped.
That was way earlier.
It's long gone.
Meow, if you will.
That was like before I got here this morning.
Could that be the rejoin like for our show?
Meow.
Top of the hour, little...
No.
Tiger Woods is playing the Memorial
next weekend. I like that you're poo-pooing it as if the ratings won't go up even higher than they have been that he's playing.
He dominates that course, too. He's playing at Jack's house. Let's go.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of surprised he wasn't there because they're playing at Jack's house this week.
The
John Deere Classic it was on the original schedule, and then they decided they weren't going to be able to do it.
Can't trust those tractors.
And so Jack said, well, we'll just set up early. Now, the plan was they do this tournament that they made up for the week without fans and have fans next week for the Memorial, but no fans. They made that announcement last week. So,
well, you know, you guys talked about this a little bit on the course yesterday during our round, and I don't really have an opinion because I don't know all the venues very well.
Well, I've been in that neighborhood.
That's right. You went to
Columbus.
It's in Dublin, which is a suburb outside of Columbus. You're playing in between houses. It's tight. Getting in and out, there's not a lot of places for entry. And so while you probably could space, 5,000 or 6,000 people around the course, it's getting them in and out. And then those places where you congregate, restrooms and concessions, how do you keep the crowds from forming there? That's the problem.
What I was going to add was you guys talked about attendance for maybe a major or a future golf tournament. Yeah, a bit of a hot take. I'm actually all in on golf without fans. I think it's been great. I've really enjoyed it.
I haven't noticed it much at all.
Yeah, I don't need the golf clap.
And I will say, in that regard, too, I don't know if you've watched. I know Sprague has. Well, maybe.
Wow.
I don't know if you've watched any of the English Premier League games since they've come back.
Why was I the one that didn't watch it and Dirt was?
You think I'm more likely to watch soccer than him?
I mean, he just made that clear.
No, I think Dirt's more likely to just be channel surfing and it's a sporting event and land on it.
That's valid. That's valid.
Because
I won't even turn it on, huh?
No.
No.
You got kids.
No.
There was we golfed last night, so I didn't watch. But if I were at home, I probably would have checked out that MLS game.
The tournament.
Dude got like judo chopped in the throat and had to go to the hospital, and everybody freaked out because their hospitals are overpacked.
Yeah, and then there's conspiracy theorists because it was Dom Dwyer whose elbow
got loose,
and nobody likes him, and they think it was semi-intentional, one of those things.
Isn't he married to the female soccer player? What's her name? Dwyer.
Dom Dwyer.
It really narrows it down. Really narrows it
Sydney
down.
Sydney Leroux. Aren't they a couple?
That I don't know.
Oh.
I'm not up on my...
As a big Sydney Leroux fan.
By the way, yesterday, speaking of Ohio fans not being able to go to the Memorial, was their third highest case total day.
Yeah.
Ohio?
Their highest was, I just pulled it up, April 19th. They had just over 1,300. And then their next highest was July 2nd. They had about 1,300. And then yesterday was just shy of 1,300. It was their third highest total.
I don't think this news is big because we talked about this like in April and May when we were at that weird stage of COVID and they were still kicking around the idea of coming back. But Haberstroh, who covers the NBA for, I think, NBC Sports, he talked to people outside of sports that are in the medical field. And there's starting to be a growing frustration because of the rapid positive test results and some hospitalizations climbing. There's medical experts that are starting to get kind of pissed at the idea that the NBA and MLS are going to get tested every day. Regular Joes have to wait 5 to 7 days.
That was a big deal early on.
I'm not shocked by that because that's something I saw coming a mile away.
Yep. But in that regard, NBC Sports is piping in crowd noise to those EPL matches that they're showing. And I got to say, it makes a difference.
Does it really?
For NFL.
Now, they didn't do it with the MLS, right?
No, they didn't do it with the MLS. But watch, because they're on in the, they're playing almost every day now. There's usually a game at like 10 a.m. or noon or something on weekdays. But just go by and check it out for 5 minutes with the piped in crowd noise.
Yeah.
And then people are saying, oh, in the NFL, that's stupid. No, I think it's going to make all the difference in the world.
Did you see Rendon, Anthony Rendon, his comments? Mm-mm. So he was asked about piping in noise in Major League Baseball. He had a great response. He goes, not a big fan of it. Basically, it'd be like you showing me a picture of pizza and it smells like a hamburger. You can play the noise, but I'm going to look around and this see nothing, and it's not going to help or hurt me.
Yeah.
Let's see. We've all been trying to help support our favorite local restaurants throughout this. Portland City Council stepping up Wednesday. They voted unanimously to make it illegal for third-party food delivery services like DoorDash and Grubhub to collect more than 10% in commission fees from city restaurants. So some of those services, because the menu is set by the restaurant. So when you call up or you do the ordering thing,
you're taking a percentage of that.
So the restaurants aren't going to gouge, you know, on their prices because then people wouldn't order it.
Right.
So there was upwards of 30% in commission fees, and that comes from restaurants. So the big cities all over have been kind of tamping this down. They also, in their order, said they can't then deduct or reduce the wages they're paying for the delivery drivers as a way to recoup it. So trying to help out some of the smaller local restaurants not get so much of a bite taken out of their money.
Yeah, and listener, like controversial thing here. Somebody says, listener says, do people even channel surf anymore?
Yeah, I channel surf all the time.
Don't you just use the guide or talk to remote? Now, isn't the guide, would you say that's channel surfing?
Yeah, that's modern.
Channel surfing, yeah.
You're not changing the channel, but you're scrolling through
channels.
You're
scrolling through, seeing what's going on. If you see a live sporting event, you're like,
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
You bring up the guide and you just start roaming around and see what you land on.
With golf, I'll watch UFC if it's on ESPN, but sometimes I'll watch that on my phone because I got ESPN Plus. I haven't watched that much live TV in 2-3 months. If I'm watching something non-sports, no. It's a Netflix or a Disney Plus situation.
Yeah, I'll flip on the news every now and then, but outside of that, yeah.
I can't even watch that.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is from alcohol.org. Did a recent study of people who are working at home, and the average employee working from home now has their first drink of the day at 4:36 p.m. One in five who drank only on the weekends now drink during the week.
Yeah.
And one in 10 say they had stockpiled alcohol in case availability was to be limited. Now, they broke this down state by state.
It's like people buying guns right now. They're all sold out.
I love it.
Do we care to guess which state starts drinking the earliest in the afternoon?
Ooh.
Texas.
No.
Oklahoma.
No, but you're starting to get on the right track.
Yeah. On the right track. Interesting. I would have guessed like a New York or something because they were under such a tight restriction for a long time that there was nothing else to do sitting at home. But if Oklahoma's on the right track.
I'm close in Oklahoma.
Are we going like Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, somewhere in there?
West Virginia.
Ah, West Virginia.
Who cracks the first drink at 3:24 in the afternoon.
Look at that. Who is the longest waiting state? Does it say that?
It might be Alaska is 6 p.m.
Ooh. Okay.
New York was later on.
I'll tell you, really? If I was working from home not doing radio, West Virginia is starting 6 hours later than I would start.
Yeah.
I would have a beer. I would have a morning beer a lot.
Yeah.
New York was about 5:19.
Okay. Where were we at as Oregonians?
Oregon was straight up 5 o'clock.
Not right as you get off.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah. Yep. We're very punctual.
High five.
I'm working
five.
Until five.
Yeah.
And at five, I'm cracking the drink. Washington, slightly later, 5:06.
Nancy's got you beat by 7 minutes.
Well, apparently traffic's even worse in Washington when you're working from home. Also, I need your help. We might have to do this when we come back.
Oh.
But my next quarterly membership thing for that little whiskey club I was a part of, it has kicked in. So I get to order a new tasting box.
You did Rise last time,
right?
Yeah,
we did Rise. So I was going to go through what's available and see if we have a preference of what we might want to sample.
Okay.
There are different scotches. There's one with Japanese whiskeys. There's ones focused on Texas distilled whiskeys.
Okay.
There's some gins. There's some vodkas. There's some rums. So maybe noodle with that and see if you have a preference. There's blended whiskeys. There's one with scotches from a specific area of Scotland. They're broken into regions. There's one that's got some Irish whiskeys in it.
Ooh, that might be the option.
I'm a big Irish whiskey guy. Okay. I like Irish whiskey.
Irish whiskey, that could be right up my alley.
I'll have to.
But you need to go with what you want. This is your subscription.
That's true. Well, I get to get a bottle, too. Of something as well.
Yeah.
But the tastings, I think, needs to be a little group thing.
Okay.
And it's...
I'm going to vote for Japanese or Irish whiskey.
Now, the Japanese whiskey I did see already had the one that you brought in to sample.
Oh, was one of the tasters
that
in there?
That was one of the three, okay. So I'm thinking... Delightful.
Okay, then my vote is for Irish whiskey. That's where my vote goes.
All right. I will hunt down what's in there after my update and report back.
There you go. Swag's Plums every Thursday at
2:15. Those were juicy.
This is a juicy day, man. Juicy day of plums. Hey, the NFL is thinking about player safety, and they have banned something from the upcoming season.
So ridiculous.
I mean, hey, we got to make sure players are safe.
So sure, yeah.
We'll get to that. Also, the leader in the clubhouse to be the new name of the Washington NFL team. All that's still to come. Got a question about the NBA bubble we'll get to coming up to close out the show.
I got an answer.
Okay. Today's NBA Bubble Day. Happy NBA Bubble Day, everybody. Are you going to be a bubble boy?
I am a bubble boy.
Are you?
Put me in the bubble.
Oops, s'mores. Okay, let's get to this. This is big news out of the NFL. Now, we know that they care about player safety, right? If there's one thing we know about the NFL, they care about the health and safety of their players.
Mm-hmm.
Long-term health, concussions, yeah. Right? They're very considerate about player safety.
They have been, it's been shown that they weren't even paying their concussion lawsuit. And then one of the many owners of the league was found that he wasn't donating money to a Native American cause that he...
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that headline.
Originally opened to basically apologize for using the Redskin name. Yeah, now he's not even putting money in that account.
We didn't even talk about that earlier this week.
Yeah, the NFL is just filled with great people.
So Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network came out with a report today that all 32 teams received updated game day protocols for the upcoming season during COVID and how they need to handle themselves. And that included, this is big. They prohibit any players from exchanging jerseys as well as a ban on any post-game interactions of any kind within 6 feet.
So tackle them, drop sweat on them for 60 minutes or whatever the hell it is. And then when it comes to jersey swapping, nah, can't do it. You're too close. It's COVID. This is the most... ass backwards thing I've ever seen. It's like you're going to let them play football, but they can't exchange jerseys. At the point of exchanging jerseys, by the way, the COVID symptoms have long been passed, right?
They have spread from jersey to jersey at that point, unless you're like a punter who hasn't touched anybody all game.
Look, even if you care about the look of it, right? Like having guys next to each other not playing, why couldn't you implement a mask policy at least? I still think that's dumb, but if you're letting them play football and then you care about them interacting post-game, just say if you wear a mask, you can exchange jerseys. I don't know what the difference is.
Yeah, also, these guys are going to do it like in the bowels of the stadium too. Like they're not going to probably do it on the field, but if they want to continue the tradition of exchanging jerseys, you just go down outside the locker room afterwards.
That's what Mostert and Damian Williams did after the Super Bowl last year. They were in the tunnel and they were both guys that worked their ways up to playing in the Super Bowl and they exchanged jerseys.
Yeah, in the tunnel of the stadium. You just give it to a team employee. You say, hey, take this over to so-and-so's locker room, give it to them and they'll swap jerseys that way. I mean, there's ways around this, but these are the kind of things that just make me chuckle and laugh about trying to get professional sports back. Like understanding that there is a global pandemic going on and you need to do everything you can to be safe, but also how stupid this looks because you're playing a physical contact sport where so, like, sweat's going to be dripping on guys. You're touching each other, grabbing each other, tackling each other. Like, they're constant contact in the game of football. You cannot avoid it. And then after the game, you can't stand within 5 feet of each other to take a picture.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Like whose PR battle are you trying to win with this?
Yeah, it's one to want to be smart and play this as closely and healthy as possible. It's another to play football entirely during a pandemic. But the one thing you prohibit is jersey swapping.
Yeah, there was also, you mentioned the face mask thing too. Did you see the J.J. Watt story?
That he might not play?
Well, yeah.
If they have COVID conditions, he might not play?
I think it was, let me pull this up. He was doing an interview with Pro Football Talk. He made it clear that he would skip the season, or it would be an option to skip the season, if he had to wear a protective face shield. So now, and I don't know if he's talking about
the helmet.
Visor or like something further than that. But I think he's talking about a visor because apparently they've considered making visors mandatory.
Well, have you seen the helmet maker? I think it's Shut.
Yeah.
They have designing helmets that are almost entirely like face masks with visors all over.
Like a biker helmet.
Yeah. Very similar to a biker helmet or maybe like the Mighty Ducks hockey helmets, you know, the closed visor.
Yeah, the old school where you got to wear the full mask. He said this, quote, "My second year in the league, I thought it'd be cool. I put a visor on my helmet. I was like, it looks so cool. I want to put a visor on. I had it on for about 3 periods of a practice, and I said, take the sucker off. I'm going to die out here. So you know you're going to put something around my mouth? Oh, so now you're going to put something around my mouth. You can keep that. If it comes into play, I don't think you're going to see me on the field." So I think, yeah, maybe he's talking about the face mask thing that they're – the full cover thing that there's been rumored potentially. I don't think you're going to be able to mandate that with NFL players, but he said he would think about sitting out the upcoming season if they did that.
I think the NFL, you know, we've so much has been focused on the NBA, and now they're in the bubble. The MLS has started. Major League Baseball is about a week away. There hasn't been a whole lot of talk about what NFL procedure is going to be. Outside of a couple like tidbits like this, no jersey swapping in midfield. But how is the season going? You've cut preseason games. Do we think that's really going to happen? Are you going to end up doing regional schedules versus cross-country schedules?
Yeah, I doubt they change the schedule.
Yeah, they might not do anything different and just say, screw it. If you get COVID, that's the NFL, buddy. Suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah, welcome to the league.
But I've been kind of, it's astounding to me that all these leagues are getting flack for not having picture-perfect rollouts. Hell, we're making a big deal of college football. The NFL is on the same timeline. The only difference is like 2 weeks. College football is now preparing in different ways with different conferences, whereas the NFL is just like, we're going to play. No, nothing to say, really.
Well, we're going to play, but you're not going to exchange those jerseys after the game.
Swap body fluids, but, you know, jersey swapping is not allowed.
A lot of players called out the hypocrisy on that. It was kind of funny to read those on Twitter today. One other NFL note to get to, and this came from D.C., how about this one? So we know that Washington's looking at changing their name. Looks like that momentum is building. And I think they came out with a statement the other day, or at least it was reported, that they're going to get rid of all Native American imagery on their logos. And
Amazon took off all the Redskin gear.
Yeah, they're not,
gear.
You know, it's going to happen. But there was a gentleman by the name of Kevin Sheehan who has reported that there is a front runner in the clubhouse to be the new name. And it is not the Red Tails, as we talked about earlier this week. It is the Washington Warriors.
Ha. We just cannot break away from the Native American references.
Yeah,
he said
it's the definitive leader in the clubhouse. The Washington Post apparently doubled down on it, saying they have it on pretty good authority that the Warriors is the leader in the clubhouse to replace the old name ahead of the 2020 season.
I still like Red Tails better.
Do you feel weird with Warriors having there be already another Warriors in professional sports?
I don't feel weird if you have the same names in different leagues.
Okay.
That doesn't really bother me. I'm just kind of like wondering, and I know they can make a logo that's appropriate and without controversy. You can't just go a different direction. I mean, even if the term warrior isn't meant to be Native American, you can't just stay away from anybody wondering if that's Native American tied. Because you're saying you're not going to do Native American stuff on your logo, which is great, but you're still going with like a relative.
Yeah, my high school is the Warriors, and there's long been a push to change the name.
I think almost all of those Native American name references, like Cleveland, we don't know what they're going to be called for their baseball team.
Needs to be the Spiders. Have you seen those jersey mock-ups?
Yes.
Those are so
sweet.
Cleveland
Spiders?
Yeah, back in the 18 whatever.
They were the Cleveland Spiders. Like
they were
first
originally
name.
The Cleveland Spiders.
Dude, but like look at the mock-up jerseys. They are
awesome.
So badass.
That's an easy one to fix.
Yes.
They would sell so much merchandise the first couple of years.
I would buy a Cleveland Spider hat. That
Can
thing
you imagine
was so sweet.
A blue hat with a red brim and a black spider on it?
Hell yeah. The only team that's upset is Richmond.
Rich what?
That's the University of Richmond.
Rich what?
Yeah, they're the only ones that are upset. By the
way, that is
isn't that sweet?
Sick Spider Cleveland logo.
Yeah, they need to do that. And he, on this note for Snyder, by the way, apparently he has like an affinity for the name Warriors, that he was going to open up an Arena League team before the league shut down. He was like, he got the expansion rights to an Arena League football, Arena Football League team. And
he wanted to be dead last in both leagues?
He did, yeah, and he was going to name them the Warriors.
Okay.
And he was gonna basically use the same uniforms as the Redskins, but just change the name to the Warriors.
Well, like
for a while.
My baseball team is the Braves, and they came out and they basically said they haven't had conversations about changing that. And I don't know how people feel, if it's hypocritical to go with the Braves, but then like Redskin is not okay. I don't know how people feel on that, but like they're talking about getting rid of the tomahawk chop, which I can tell you as a 33-year-old white man, it's okay. Get rid of it.
You want to get rid of the tomahawk chop?
Yeah. As a kid, it's fun to do. You get an adult and you're kind of like, I'm a white guy going, don't like that. But if you're going to address changing Native American reference names, I guess I don't follow the logic of going from Redskin.
Sure.
I'm not going to do that, but I'm going Warrior.
Yeah, I'm all for Red Tails. I think Red Tails would be awesome.
It's a cool, tribute.
Yeah, it's a really cool tribute. It's a cool name. You keep the red part of it still in there, right? So there's some similarity for the fans. You know, you get that at least, not changing too much on you. All for that. But yeah, Cleveland Spiders is a no-brainer. Go look at those uniforms if you haven't seen them. Google that bad boy because those are pretty sweet.
They got a bunch of mock merch up there and some things you can actually buy.
Oh, really?
It seems like that's a pretty easy transition for Cleveland fan anyway.
Yeah, and somebody said there's two Cardinals in pro sports. No, I get that. Like, I know that there are multiple names out there. I think there's probably more than Cardinals. Hell, like, you go to college football and you got similar names all over the country. I just wonder, from a branding standpoint, like, you're trying to get off on the right foot here. And if Golden State was like the Phoenix Suns.
You know what I mean? Used to be?
Yeah, exactly. Old Golden State. Then it's, I don't know, maybe an easier argument. Yeah. But when anybody thinks of Warriors, what do you think of?
Well, you think of Steph Curry.
You're thinking
and
of Golden State.
Golden State.
So that was my only point with that. I'm not saying that you can't have similar names in professional sports, but I've always wondered that with a Portland MLB team. Like, I get the Mavericks history, but there's kind of a weirdness there of there being a kind of a predominant professional sports team that already has a team name.
Well, the only thing, I think you're right on that, but the thing I disagree with is if they roll with Warrior, the NFL is king. So
maybe it'll change as years go on.
Would think of Golden State, but the NFL is so much more popular than the NBA that their merch would sell no problem and people would think about them just as much, if not more, than Golden State.
Yeah. All right, let's close up. The NBA players are entering the bubble today, and we have an outfit to talk about and a setup to get to talk about. And I also have a question about bubble life. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. Hey, welcome back in. 247. Isaac and Sue coming up top of the hour. Question. What's the best bear? No. But seriously, question.
False. Black bear.
If you had to go live in the Orlando bubble, what would you take with you? Because there was videos that came out of Lou Williams today. Did you see Lou Williams set up?
What am I not allowed to take with me? I guess.
I think you can basically take anything you want.
Well, women.
Outside of people, yes. You cannot take people.
Well, that's a very valuable commodity for NBA players.
Lou Williams, there was a video. I think he put it out on his Instagram or something.
He's got a studio, basically.
He went the Damian Lillard route. Yeah, he's got, like, he brought all sorts of snacks and bottles and that kind of stuff. And he brought, like, a computer. And he also brought a studio, like, recording equipment.
You know, I've seen the size of these rooms. Rajon Rondo made fun of his room. It was like, we're getting Motel 6 rooms, huh? And they're staying in the nicest suite on the campus. Nobody knows, by the way, if that's really Rajon Rondo's room. But I've seen a lot of interesting things players are bringing. Dame, Lou Will, Marvin Bagley are largely bringing their similar things, studio equipment.
And you can sit there and record.
If I'm a player, I'm bringing podcasting equipment. I want to do a podcast.
Oh, that's actually a really good idea. If a player were to do that, like a tell-all podcast behind the scenes.
Not a tell-all per
se. Sure, but like this is what life's like in the bubble kind of life.
Yeah. A Bubble Life podcast brought to you by Lou Williams, you know, something like that. I'm bringing books, and I'm going to go out of left field here. given the same personality type I am and my interests are the same, but I'm an NBA player, I'm absolutely finding a way to bring a golf simulator.
That would be pretty sweet.
To hit on my spare time.
That would be pretty
sweet. In between playing rounds and my off time.
Yeah, if you could set up like a bed sheet so the balls aren't off, you got to, you know, don't want to hit in the wall, that kind of stuff, and then get the track man behind you, get the video screen set up.
Everything. Do a net setup. You don't even need a sheet.
That'd
you
be
just
pretty
get
cool.
A net setup and you hit into the net and it tracks and shows you what you did, what you didn't do.
That'd be pretty cool.
Because they have stipulations that they released today now of what you can do and what you can't do while you're doing those things, like boating, golfing. There are regulations to them being able to do that stuff. You can only, like, I'll bring it up here, but there was a story written about it of
some limitations.
Well, I thought you could play golf, but there was no drinking on the course.
I was to say, that's one of the stipulations.
But there's four golf courses on that Wild World of Sports complex.
Right, so you can go play golf on one of those courses. You just, why can't you booze on the course? They think you're going to share beers
COVID
or something?
Share. I don't know. I'll tell you right now, if a guy like CJ's married, but he's got no kids, if his wife is going to join him eventually, but he's got nobody for, like, let's say a month. Why, if you're like a CJ McCollum, do you not just go all in your off time and lower the handicap?
Yeah, just play golf every day.
Just play golf all the time.
Hell, that's what baseball players do, whether there's a coronavirus or not. They golf, especially starting pitchers, man, they golf every day.
And I'll take it a step further. For all the Jordan stands out there, zero chance that dude's winning a chip.
He would have played 72 holes of golf a day in this setting.
Easy.
He
would have played more golf in the bubble than he ever did in his career. And there's already legendary stories about him playing 36 before playing a game and dropping 45.
Yeah, I just saw that from Lou Williams, and it made me wonder, like, what would be the thing to take? How would you entertain yourself? Because I believe, how long do they have to quarantine themselves in their rooms? I know it's like a couple
days.
Of days. Is it 2 days?
It's two days, I think.
So two full days, you got to sit in there.
If they come,
test,
if they come with the team on the team charter, then yeah, they take a test when they get there. They quarantine for 2 days. Mm-hmm. If they're good, then they're free to go into whatever areas they're allowed to go in.
If you want to see another funny video too, Dallas was there. I believe it was the Mavericks, and they had a situation where it looks like all the rooms were kind of next to each other in a hallway, but they all have like a balcony that they can go on. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but there's a kind of funny video of like three nerdy white teens like doing a DJ thing with like bottle caps and stuff that has gone viral from time to time.
Haven't seen it.
It's just random bros, like young kids drinking Red Bull, thinking they're cool, like doing fake DJing and stuff. In Dallas, they put out a video playing the same techno song, and they're all like out fake DJing on their balconies, and like you could see their heads like sticking out. It's like quarantine content. Here we are.
Yeah.
So yeah, made me wonder. Lou Williams brought his recording stuff, but they're all arriving in the bubble. And one other player who made a headline about going into the bubble. Did you see what Joel Embiid wore today?
Top to bottom, all PPE gear, right?
He wore a full gear, a full, I don't know what kind of, what the name of the suit is.
A hazmat suit.
Basically a hazmat suit.
Where do you get a 7-foot hazmat suit?
That's a great question.
Is Big Dog in the market of hazmat suits?
That's a really good question I didn't even think about.
That's a custom-made hazmat suit.
It has to be, right?
Can I get the Doc Brown hazmat suit? Well, yeah, how tall are you? I'm 7'1". Well, Doc Brown was like 6 foot, so.
Everybody had really good jokes on, you know, Dr. Embiid has arrived. Somebody said, trust the precautious. That was pretty good. And then somebody else brought up your point. Like, where do I get this fit? Like, how do you find one that's that big?
I have no clue where you start with that.
But that was pretty cool. Now, have you guys seen any stuff from the Blazers? I know they were leaving today, but have they sent any updates about arriving yet?
Or I don't know if they're there yet.
I haven't seen.
That's what, if you're nonstop, that's like a 6-hour flight?
It's five hours? It's a good five. Yeah.
Yeah, at least.
So if they left at 11, they're not even there yet.
I feel like I flew to New Orleans, and it was about a 5-hour flight to get to New Orleans. So yeah.
It's probably an extra hour and a half, 2 hours.
Pretty lengthy flight to get down there to Orlando. And we'll have to keep an eye. I mean, look, they're going to get there in quarantine, that kind of stuff. You just hope things get under a good start, because the MLS kind of, they were slow out of the gate, and they just booted another team out of the bubble. But they're at least playing games now, and hopefully things are settled down for the MLS. You hope the NBA gets off to a good start. And the other thing to keep an eye on, I believe they announced they're like playing a couple of practice games. You could have a couple of scrimmages here and there, and there has not been, to my knowledge, an update on them broadcasting that, but that would be a total missed opportunity.
You have to do that.
And I'd watch that in a heartbeat. As dumb as that sounds, if you give me like a Blazer scrimmage versus the Lakers, I'm watching that.
Well, even give me an inner squad scrimmage. It was like watching Gerrit Cole get a home run hit off him in Yankee Stadium by his own teammate.
I think the only thing is coaches might close that down if they're trying to cook up something new and exciting that they don't want any tape of.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see
Myers? But otherwise, you're absolutely right. But I could see coaches stepping in or
yeah, how much of that is scheme and how much of that is just go run and get some shots up and play basketball?
Or if they got guys massively out of shape that look awful.
So
they don't want that to get out.
Somebody texted Myers and said what he's bringing. Myers went on Instagram Live today to order lunch.
Okay.
And he had like chicken strips with honey mustard, I think a salad and some other stuff.
Yeah, chicken tendies.
He also added at the end of it, and 4 Coors Lights, please. How many Coors Lights does Myers Leonard.
Yeah,
how
Miles.
Many Coors Lights does he have to drink to get a buzz?
Myles Leonard is an egg shack.
We talking like 9 for a 7-1 guy?
Oh, I mean, how often does he drink?
I bet he drinks all the time.
You think so?
Yeah.
If he drinks all the time, it's got to be at least... You got to get to 10.
Yeah.
Dude, I got a buddy who's a tank. It takes him like 15 Coors Lights to feel a buzz.
You talking about Dave?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a big ass.
I've seen Dave.
Yeah, it's you know, it takes a case. You bring a case.
Dave's calves are as big as my body.
All right, there you go. Good little show. If you missed it, Les Schaub Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out after and spreg and at 1080thefan. We had Kevin Noon on today to talk about the announcement out of the Big Ten in Ohio State.
Really good stuff there from him.
Yeah, shutting down all their practices and stuff for a while. So go check that. We'll tweet it out as well. Thank you for being a part of our Thursday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Everyone's next listening to 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.